You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina podcast. I'm host for this one, John Siegley. I'm joined by Sean Moran of Sean Mo Hoops and Sherelle McMillan of Inside Carolina. We are sponsored, as always, by Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. Guys, this is going to be the kickoff episode to a new weekly podcast series that we will be doing. The name is TBD. I'm leaning towards the Coast to Coast podcast since we've got Sean over here and he's over there in Cali, and then Rel and I are here on the East Coast. But we'll see about that. But we're going to be recording this every week, hopefully on Sundays, and just going to be kind of giving a overview of the basketball team, how they're doing, some trends, thoughts, stuff like that, and then also touching on recruiting news when relevant. So let's go ahead and jump right into this. And Sean, since Sherelle has been doing the post-game shows with Tommy, he's already talked a lot so far this season. We have not heard from you, man. When you were watching, or I guess following along with UNC's first two games, I don't know if you bothered doing the flow sports thing or not, but what's kind of one thing that has stood out to you that's a positive so far in this early season?
Well, I'd say the first positive is they're 2-0. I think at halftime of the Notre Dame game, while they were 10-point favorites, I think, it wouldn't have been a huge surprise if they had come out short, and then you're 1-0-1 in the ACC and 1-1 overall. So the main thing is they're 2-0. I mean, Cole Anthony, everybody's been talking about him and what he did the first game and his overall stats through two games. I think, Justin Pierce starting to come into a rhythm against UNC Wilmington. I know it was a game that he was, very familiar with playing in the CAA and a team that he has done well in the past. But I think it was, that was maybe the main thing of just starting to, for one of the new guys to get some, get some rhythm and see how they go going forward.
All right. And then Sherelle, what about for you, man? You've watched both games so far. What's kind of a trend or something that you've noticed the team having a tendency towards over these first two games?
I think it's in the preseason, Roy Williams told reporters, and he told anybody who would listen, that he was worried about the team's ability to score. And, you wondered at the time if he was just trying to send a message to the team through the media, if he really believed it. But I see where he's coming from now, especially after Armando Bacot went out in the game on Friday with, it looked like, a head injury. And then Brandon Robinson not being able to play, Anthony Harris still being out, Sterling Manley still being out. I wondered, how are they going to score at times? Because, Garrison Brooks is a great player. He's a great defender, but he's not someone that you're going to throw the ball into and say, take 15, 16 shots and score for us. So really, it comes down to Cole Anthony having to have a really, really high usage rate. 35% of possessions he's been used by UNC, which is pretty crazy. So that, to me, stuck out the most. And, they put up 75-plus points in both games, but at times it seems like it was a little bit of a struggle to score. So that's something I think I'll be kind of watching moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, the offense itself, it's not so much the points scored. Like you said, I mean, they are scoring close to what you would expect in the upper 70s. But to me, it just seems as if the baskets are a little bit harder to come by. Talking about Cole Anthony, I mean, he has been the driving force so far this season, Sean. Do you think it is sustainable that he can keep up this level of play for most of the season?
No, I definitely don't. Right now, as Sherelle mentioned, 35%. But once you start getting into ACC play, and especially some tougher opponents, they're going to be focusing on him even more, trying to get the ball out of his hands and make other people make plays and make shots. So I definitely don't think it is sustainable. It's definitely nice to see, especially that first game, having a top recruit come in and kind of get that notoriety rather than, maybe a Harrison Barnes type where he struggles out of the gate. So I think it was good for him to, show the scoring prowess and rebounding prowess that he has, but definitely not sustainable. And then one thing just to kind of follow up on Sherrill's point, you know, just looking through the KenPom stats, and I know it's only two games, so things will change drastically, but they're, you know, their offensive rating is strong. Their tempo ranked 12th in the country. So numbers you expect to see from a Roy Williams team. But one number that jumped out was average possession length, which is right now 16 seconds, and they rank 110th. You can go back through any of Roy's teams at UNC, and the lowest they finish is 25th in the country. So I think that shows how hard it is for them to create and get easy baskets, and something to definitely monitor as the games continue.
All right, let me ask a question to both of you guys, and Sherrill, going to start with you for this. UNC does need someone to step up. I think Sean is completely right about that. Who do you think it can be on this team to really help with the scoring load?
I mean, I think Armando Bacot will really help with that once he continues to get acclimated and feels a little more comfortable, you know, just playing college basketball, because he is someone I think they can give the ball to, and, you know, he can get them 10 points just by, you know, playing in the low post. I think it was the very first game, his first basket was really good footwork. It was kind of just a little spin move with a jump hook over his right shoulder. And just, you know, that's something that North Carolina hasn't had the last couple of years, a player with the ability to do that. So I think he'll help tremendously just from the looks that he'll get from Cole Anthony on pick and roll, or in pick and roll situations. And then I think, you know, he hasn't played great the first two games, but I think Christian Keeling will be able to as well. There's a reason he's in the starting lineup. You know, I don't think Roy Williams would have put him there just to, you know, satiate his ego or anything like that. I think he believes he's a good player, and he's shown that through practice. And, you know, one of the things that they wanted out of him when they recruited him was to, hey, come in and score. And I think he'll provide that as he gets more comfortable at UNC.
All right, Sean, same question to you. Who do you think is capable of stepping up and helping out with the scoring load?
That's a good question. I think Justin Pierre showed he can do that role. I think, you know, it'll still take some time for him to get adjusted, especially once the competition ramps up. You know, Robinson, when he does get back, just because of his experience and he has shown the ability to hit shots in the past. And then I'd also agree with Sherrill on Keeling. I think right now he definitely looks lost out there, and that he's not ready for, you know, to be playing at that kind of top Division I level. But last year he showed he can, you know, really shoot the ball, 36%, 40% from 3-point line, which right now he's, I think, 1-for-6. He's also been able to show he can finish at the paint. So I think for him, it's really just getting up to the speed level. And right now there's going to be two more games for him to ideally work through some of the issues and get more comfortable. So I would see Roy still giving him kind of a little bit of a longer leash over the next 2 weeks with Gardner Webb and Elon before you really start getting into some quality competition with Alabama, Ohio State, and Virginia. And you definitely need his confidence and somebody to be able to hit shots outside besides Cole and Pierce right now, and Playtech.
Yeah, the schedule is not kind to UNC. Like you mentioned, they do have that game versus a ranked Ohio State team coming right up. Real quick, Sean, you mentioned earlier, what was UNC's rating on KenPom right now?
Right now, I mean, they're overall number 6, so pretty good. Number 5 in offensive rating, number 9 in defensive rating. So, you know, top 10 team. But definitely, as you watch the game, you know, you can be concerned. But at the same time, 2-0 and hopefully 4-0 going into that main stretch. So they're right after Virginia and right after Duke in terms of the rankings.
Yeah, I was going to see about the rebounding numbers, because to me, that's been a huge part of UNC's game, is that they are getting contributions from Leaky Black, Cole Anthony, and then especially Justin Pierce. You know, against the Seahawks, Anthony had 10, Leaky Black had 7, and then Pierce chipped in with actually 12 in that game. But even against Notre Dame, which is a step up in competition, you know, Pierce was still able to get 7, and Leaky Black had 7 as well. And I think with this year's team, the guards are really going to have to shoulder a lot of that rebounding load, but it's going to be very key for them to maintain those possessions and be able to get easy baskets. You know, Sherrill, when you're looking at that, what's really stood out to you about just this team's ability to really go after there and get rebounds, both on the defensive and offensive end?
I think from Friday, it's a little skewed because they shot so poorly from the field. There were a ton of rebounds to be had. So the numbers are a little out of whack there because I don't think they'll shoot that poorly moving forward, you know, throughout the season. But to your point, you know, they have tremendous size. They have lineups, you know, lineup combinations where Cole Anthony could be the shortest one on the court. I mean, they could easily do something like Cole Anthony 6'3", Brandon Robinson 6'5", Leaky Black 6'7", 6'8", Garrison Brooks 6'9", Armando Bacot 6'9", you know, or swap out Justin Pierce for Leaky and another 6'7" type player. So they all have that ability. And we've talked about it all offseason about how Pierce and Keeling were very good rebounders at their level, about how Garrison Brooks has proven to be a solid rebounder at UNC, about how Armando Bacot coming in should be able to help in that regard, and then how Cole Anthony, Roy Williams has called him the best defensive rebounding guard he's ever recruited or ever seen. So all of the players pretty much that constitute their, you know, top six or top seven have proven to be really solid rebounders. So it's going to help because what we just talked about was that maybe this isn't the best scoring or shooting team. So how do you kind of make up for that? Like you said, get extra possessions, you get offensive rebounds, you get putbacks, you get fouled, you go to the free throw line, those type of things. That's how you overcome maybe some scoring deficiencies that the team might have throughout the season.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a very quick commercial break to talk about our friends at John T-Shirt and johnt-shirt.com. They are a longtime sponsor of Inside Carolina. If you are going to be in town for UNC's last home football game coming up in a couple of weeks, or if you're going to be attending one of the basketball games, make sure that you swing by Franklin Street and visit John T-Shirt there. They've been in business for decades. They have the absolute best customer service, and they carry anything that you could want for the Tar Heel fan and your family. They do have everything for the big sports, basketball and football, but they also have soccer jerseys, lacrosse jerseys, baseball, field hockey, anything that you could want. You can find it there at Giant T-Shirt. You can also find it at GiantT-Shirt.com. If you can't make it into Chapel Hill, you can always shop there. Hey, the holiday seasons are coming up as well, so if you need a gift idea, head over to Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. And always remember that if you are a subscriber to Inside Carolina, you get 10% off of your orders. You can get that code from the Premium Basketball or the Premium Football Board. That's 10% off of your order at Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. Your place to go for Carolina gear. Sean, let's talk about the defense real quick, because I've also liked what I've seen so far of UNC really being able to hustle. For a team that is not really familiar with playing with each other at this point in the season, it seems as if UNC, though, is really able to communicate pretty well on the defensive side of the ball. And Notre Dame had some open looks from 3-point, but overall, I mean, they finished that game only 9-for-31, 29%, which is basically exactly what you would want. And then Wilmington, they shot 5-for-28. When you're looking at UNC's ability to kind of defend the three and just defend overall, what are you seeing there so far early on this year?
Well, right now, you don't have a lot of starters returning. You have Cole Anthony, freshman, grad transfers, and then basically bench people stepping up and starting roles besides Garrison. So it's been a pretty positive showing the first two games in terms of kind of the experience and collaboration that they've shown. But one thing I was noticing in the Wilmington game, and this was more when Huffman was in, but in years past, there have been problems on the pick and roll of teams being able to exploit UNC. And I could see they were a little slow on hedging and recovering at times with the big, and UNC Wilmington was able to kind of get a few easy buckets on that. So that's something I want to watch going forward, especially as there is a step up in competition and how UNC guards that. But for all the new pieces they have so far, I think it's definitely been above what I was expecting from them at this point in time.
All right. And then, guys, let's go ahead and zoom out a little bit and talk about the ACC college basketball just in general right now. If you guys have been following the rest of the top 10, top 20-ish teams, it doesn't seem to me like this is a season where you have one really true elite team. So when you're comparing how the Heels are playing right now, how do you think they stack up with the competition on a national scale, Sean?
It's a good question. I think every year you go into the beginning of the season and people are always talking about, you know, who college basketball lost, all the one and done freshmen, and that it's wide open, et cetera. And this year, I think you can finally say that, you know, just watching the Champions Classic with Michigan State, Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas, you know, all those teams look beatable. And then, you know, Virginia's playing right now. Louisville looked good at Miami. But once again, there's no, you know, amazing team that's going to, I think, separate itself from the pack. So while there are definitely warts with North Carolina, I think there are warts with everybody. You know, watching Virginia play, for instance, they lost pretty much most of their scoring. And now Diakite is kind of their go-to offensive player. And then you have Duke, who, you know, once again, they have a lot of talent, but they're going to be trying to work in their talented freshmen. And you can kind of go on down the list. Michigan State, who is a preseason number one team, you know, they could barely buy a basket from outside the 3-point line in New York. So it's definitely been interesting, and it's easy to say a down year, but, you know, right now it's wide open, and will be interesting to see which teams can gel and which teams, you know, really pick up over the November, December going into conference play.
What about you, Sherelle? Have any teams kind of stood out to you as either being better than what you expected or potentially worse than what you were thinking?
Not particularly. I try not to form any conclusions on teams until we get to January, not trying to avoid the question. But, you know, so much changes. As Sean said, the freshmen are getting integrated into their new systems. They're learning about college basketball. Every team is just going to be so much different in 2 months than they are right now. So, you know, you can look for some trends, you know, especially with individuals, and say, okay, this team has, you know, five people I recognize. Of those five, you know, three have played really well. And of those three, I think this guy really has a chance to be, you know, all ACC or all American. So that's really what I look for more individually the first couple of months. And for North Carolina, you know, bringing it back there, it is, you know, if you want to call it a down year, whatever, you can. But for UNC, most nights they're going to have the best player on the floor. And when you have that, you always have a chance. I mean, there's been so many times over the last few years where maybe Carolina had the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth best player on the court, but maybe not the first. And the first, you know, the player who was the best on the court, you know, kind of gave it to him and ended up not beating them by themselves, but really, really, really making it tough for North Carolina. And I think a lot of nights, Carolina will at least have the number one player on the court. And if you have that, you have a chance to beat anybody.
Absolutely. Guys, let's go ahead and take our very last commercial break. And when we get back, let's go ahead and wrap this podcast up with a little bit of recruiting talk. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
And we are back with the Inside Carolina podcast. John Siegel here with Sean Moran and Sherelle McMillan. All right, so Sean, signing day is coming up this week. UNC has landed a very, very, very good class to me. When you're looking at all the names that are going to be signing for the Tar Heels, who do you really think stands out in the UNC class to you?
Well, I really like, you know, pretty much everybody they sign. RJ Davis, I haven't seen as much of, so I definitely want to watch more of him. But, you know, between Sharp, I've gotten to see a lot over the years and have loved how he's improved and what he's added to his game. Kessler is very intriguing. I think regarding those two, it'll be interesting to see what happens this year with UNC's big men and then how both of those five-star prospects are incorporated. From Kayla Love, I think he will be, you know, the one that's talked about the most, especially with Cole Anthony and his most likely depending departure. And then with Puff Johnson, you get some size and some shooting. So I think, you know, for Puff, I'm actually pretty excited to see. And I think the one thing to caution people on is, you know, we got to see Cam Johnson his junior and senior year when he was really in his prime, and we didn't really have to watch his freshman year when he was averaging 4 points per game. So I think Puff is a guy that isn't going to light the world on fire his freshman year, but I think, you know, as a sophomore and junior, will really be able to make an impact.
Yeah, UNC has basically recruited a starting five where you have Caleb Love at point guard, RJ Davis as the combo guard there, or I guess Caleb Love as lead guard, and then Puff Johnson forward, Dayron Sharp down the post, and same thing with Walker Kessler. Sherelle, you talked about at the beginning of the recruiting cycle that the staff really basically wanted a guy at every position. So in that sense, I mean, they have definitely accomplished that mission. When you're looking at the talent, though, were you anticipating that UNC would be able to get such highly rated guys when this recruiting cycle first really began in earnest?
So I'll answer that in a couple ways. I think once they had Dayron committed and we saw, you know, how well he played, you knew they had at least one McDonald's All-American just because he's played so well and he's continued to improve and he committed so early. So they felt comfortable there that they have somebody, another post player. If you start going down the line, you knew that they were going to need a point guard and they had to identify, you know, some of the top tier guys. And you start to see now the effect of Coby White, of Cole Anthony. This is before he even played a game, but of just of his commitment to UNC and how that impacted Caleb Love. So I think you knew they were going to get a really good point guard. I think you knew that since they had Sharp, they were going to get, or they had a really good big already committed. What surprised me a little bit was really honestly, Walker Kessler was the biggest surprise, just because, you know, if you look at the roster and a lot can shake out, but at the time, you know, Armando Bacot was projected to be there as a sophomore, and Garrison Brooks was projected to be there as a senior, and Sterling Manley, excuse me, as a senior, and Brendan Huffman as a senior. So it seems like it would have been a hard sell to get another big in addition to Sharp to sign in on 2020. And so we, for a while, honestly, we didn't pay attention to any other big guys until it became clear that they really, really wanted a second one. So to me, that was kind of the biggest surprise as far as quality, that in spite of their depth chart, they were still able to get, you know, two of the top 20 big guys in the country.
Now, Sean, are you going to be able to go out there into a Hillcrest Prep in Arizona to watch Puff Johnson some this high school season?
Well, that would be nice, but I was looking at their website the other few days ago once he committed, and they don't even have their schedule up yet. So it'll be nice. Hopefully they can get their act together and get a schedule out, and would love to go see him play, especially with somebody being out on the West Coast. You know, with there have been a few other LA guys or California guys that I've been hoping would be interested in Carolina, but I'll settle for somebody in Phoenix right now.
For Carolina fans, just of note, Hillcrest will be at the Chick-fil-A Classic in Columbia, South Carolina, the week of Christmas. So that's probably as close as he's going to get to Chapel Hill, in him and his team. So check that out. We'll definitely be down there for that too.
Oh, very nice. That's a really high quality basketball tournament, isn't it, Sherelle?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorites. They do a good job. That's where, you know, we first saw Jaleek Felton, Seventh Woods, Zion, a few other players. That's kind of where they came onto the radar.
Nice. All right. Well, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up with this. Now that the 2020 recruiting class is going to be signed and that one's pretty much done, 2021 is going to come right into focus. So, Sean, with UNC coming off the heels of a very, very successful class, how do you think that it puts them in position for 2021?
I think it puts them in a strong position, because you go back a year ago and they were in contention for a lot of the top guys, Robinson Earl, Green, et cetera. And, you know, they landed Cole, but missed out on some of those guys. And now here you go, where they landed, for the most part, a lot of their key targets. And now you go into next year's recruiting class. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they start to game plan it. Obviously, point guard is going to be a need, but what else will they be looking for, and who are they going to really start to target now that the 2020 class is done? So going back a few weeks when I was at the USA basketball camp and you were talking to a lot of rising juniors, and there have definitely been some schools that have been recruiting these guys pretty hard, and Carolina was still kind of, you know, trying to figure out their 2020 mix and had expressed interest, but not as much full-on, you know, full-on focus. So I think it'll be interesting to see who Rory gets out and sees over the next few months in the high school season, and outside of point guard, what they're really looking at.
Yeah, Sean is right. They're really going to start moving forward with 2021 now that 2020 is mostly wrapped up. I think one thing we have to notice, too, is that the in-state class in 2021 in North Carolina isn't as strong as previous classes. So there's not a Kobe White and there's not a Dayron Sharp out there for North Carolina to lock up early, at least not yet. Someone could emerge, but we haven't seen that as of yet. So they're going to have to be more national, I guess, in their recruiting than usual, just because there's not that one prospect who they can kind of get early in the state of North Carolina. So it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, you know, I think they'll definitely sign a point guard, like Sean said. I think wing will be something they'll have to address because Brandon Robinson will have left as well. And then you're kind of left with Playtech as a senior, possibly playing on the wing along with Puff Johnson and Licky Black, you know, just covering whatever holes there are in the team. So that's another position to look towards. I think the big guys, they still might try to sign one because regardless of what happens, they're going to lose Garrison Brooks, Sterling Manley, and Brandon Huffman prior to the enrollment of the class of 2021. And who knows what Walker Kessler and Dayron Sharp and potentially Armando Bacot might do. So they still will probably look for a big guy as well.
Good stuff, guys. All right, well, we'll keep this conversation going for the entire basketball season. But tonight, we'll go and call it a wrap. Thank you guys for talking with me. And actually, just real quick, Sean, what's coming up on the Sean Mo Hoops podcast for the listeners?
That's a great question because it's been fairly quiet over the at the latter part of the summer. I had Tommy Shepard, the Wizards GM, on and then did a recap of the USA basketball mini camp in October. But it's been pretty quiet since that. Hoping to get it going next weekend, start talking some college basketball. So when myself and Sherrill are on next, I'll have something to plug for you guys.
All right. Good deal. Well, tonight, guys, thanks a lot for talking to me and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.